Only God could decide that. So the God who decided that for my friend decided it for that rose. And I was going to plant that rose in the garden, and I didn't care what anybody said. I planted the rose. And I prayed for weeks for the rose, and I prayed for my friend. But the weeks went on. There was no sign of life in the rose, and there was very little sign of it in my friend. Well, one morning I had a telephone call from her son, and he said, "My mother's had a very difficult night, and I think she might be passing on, and perhaps I should get a doctor." He told me all the symptoms, and they didn't look good. Now, I felt really disappointed. I couldn't understand why, when I had prayed so faithfully, I didn't get better results for my prayer. So I didn't want the workmen to see that I was having a little weep. And I went out into the garden. And I looked at the rose tree, and there were three little dead sticks above the earth. And I grabbed hold of them, and I said, "Look at you. You're dead as a doornail." And do you know, underneath the ground were dozens of little white shoots, all ready to come through. Well, I kissed those white shoots and stuck it back into the ground. And my neighbor came out and he said, "What are you doing? I saw you taking that rose out. I thought, good." I said, "You just leave that rose there. That rose is doing okay." And I thought, and that's the same truth for that woman. And I don't care what the material senses are saying. And just at that, my neighbor said, "Your phone's ringing." And I ran in. It was the woman's son. He said, "I don't know what's happened to my mother. She's sitting out on the edge of the bed, says she's starving. She wants a large bowl of porridge." And my lovely rose bloomed. It was a yellow rose. And you know, it gave the nicest fragrance of all the roses in the garden. And on the first day that two blooms came out, I took one bloom, put it in a little vase, went into my neighbors. They were sitting having their dinner, and I said, "There's the rose you said was no use." And I took the other one when I went to visit my friend. And that was such a lesson to me. And I ended up with a lovely garden, a lovely open garden. These people went way down to the sea 30 miles every day and brought me stones and made a beautiful rockery. And even people in the buses used to tell me, "We admire your garden so much. It's brightened the whole road." It was such a lovely proof and demonstration of God's care. But it proved to me that man is never too old, should never give up. He's not useless, unwanted, alone. There's another part of this belief about environment that I want to discuss. But before I do, I want to say this to you. If any part of my talk today has inspired you, I want you to take it home and make it grow. Because inspiration on its own is absolutely useless. It'll just die. If you all go home and say, "That was a lovely, inspiring talk," and then forget about it, it'll never bear any fruits. If you came to my home and you saw a plant in my garden and you liked it, and you said, "I'd like to have a piece of that," and I gave it to you, and you took it home and you nourished it, well, soon it would grow into a big plant, and you would be sharing with your friends, and they would share it with their friends. It would just keep right on going. But if you took that little piece of plant home and threw it in the back garden and said, "Well, it is a lovely plant, but I couldn't be bothered going out there to dig a hole and and put it in there, nothing will ever come of it. It's the same with this lecture. If you do that, it won't bear fruit. It won't be my fault. It won't be the lecture's fault. But let me tell you, the next time I see you, I'm going to say, how's your plant? Now, the final part of this talk on environment, because, you know, we could talk about this for a week, this environment situation, is when we seem to be environed inside a material body and we think there's no way of escape. Perhaps it's an incurable disease or a chronic disease, something that has happened and there just doesn't seem to be any answer to it, even though you've prayed and prayed and prayed. Let me tell you, you should never give up. About 18 months ago, I was introduced to a young woman who was suffering from a disease called ME. I'm sure you've all heard about it. Something that wastes away the muscles. She'd had this disease for 7 years. When I met her, she'd been bedridden, completely bedridden, for over a year. She'd been to many, many doctors who had tried everything to help her, and they'd reached the stage where they didn't know what else to do. They told her husband it was just hopeless. There was nothing that they could do for her. They were giving her so many drugs that she couldn't eat, and she'd lost so much weight and was so weak that she couldn't even hold the telephone. It had to be propped up on a pillow. Now, she was the mother of three children. Two of them were teenagers, and the youngest one was only 11. And for all those years, the environment in their home was not good. Her husband was a very busy, popular journalist. He was also the author of 9 books, a very busy young man. But when he came home from work every day, he had to cook meals, take the children shopping, see to all the things his wife couldn't see to, and she had to have someone there every day looking after their home. And she just couldn't stop crying. She said, when I went to see her, she said, why is this? Why should I have to die and leave my children when they need me so much? She asked me if Christian Science could heal her, because she had tried many faith healing groups and everything in medicine, and nothing had helped. Well, I offered to pray for her. I went to visit her for 3 consecutive days, and every day when I went to visit her, she kept telling me about the disease, what she'd suffered from it, how it started, all the symptoms. She went over them and over them and over them. On the third day, I said to her, this disease is called ME. Now, ME means me. And for 3 days, you've done nothing but talk about me. This mortal, physical me, which isn't really you at all. So I said to her, I would like to talk to you about you. A wonderful you that God made, that God knows, that God loves. And we began with the first chapter of Genesis, where God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. We read different things about man from the Christian Science textbook. We began to identify her correctly, and she began to respond very slowly at first. We read verses in the Bible like I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten. I saw that this woman needed her faith in God restored because it had taken an awful beating. She'd had a good religious upbringing, but her faith in God seemed to have taken a beating. And we began to talk about God and how God is love. Well, in a few days her husband had to go outside the country for 5 days, and he didn't know what to do with his wife because she didn't want to go into hospital. And I said that I would take her home, and I took her home. And during those 5 days we did nothing but talk about man's perfection and about this God who is love. And I'm pleased to be able to tell you that when her husband came home, she ran down the steps to meet him. And within a week, she was driving her own car. And the first night that they all went out together as a family, they went to the supermarket. And then they went for a meal together and sat round the table together for the first time as a family. And on their way home, they called to see me with an arm full of flowers. And her husband, with tears in his eyes, said to me, I never thought I would be so happy to simply push a shopping trolley round the supermarket. He said it was the most wonderful thing. Their whole environment took on a whole new look. Life became wonderful. She and her husband used to get in the car, drive down to the sea, buy an ice cream and sit like two kids and eat it, just for the joy of living and being together. What a change in their environment. She didn't have to die or get out of her body. She'd only to change her false concept of God and of herself. And you know, what's true for one is true for all. No matter what your problem seems to be today, and let's face it, everybody's got problems. No matter what it is, no matter how long it's lasted, no matter how many people know about it, no matter how discouraged you feel about it, it's not true. Because it's not true to God, and there is an answer in truth to your problem. Take it to this God who is love. Remind yourself that God is love, that there's no one in this universe that He loves more than He loves each and every one of you. You're so precious in His sight. Or perhaps it's one of your loved ones who's at home that you're thinking about. Well, that tender, loving care is already there with them, and you have only to acknowledge it. Change your concept of your environment. Pray with the Lord's Prayer, because that has such power. And give God the glory. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Thank you for being such a lovely audience.